Matthew, the fifth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you'll be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you'll be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you'll be liable to the hell of fire. So when you're offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, to be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with them, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you've paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery,' but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one of your members than for the whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it out, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you've made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for a short message.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
I don't know if there's anybody in back, but there's nobody coming, so I'm just going to go ahead and start. But I have something I want to show you today. This is kind of cool. I have this, oh, and I put it too far under my finger. Be careful. A special ring. Now, that doesn't look like a ring that you'd wear very much, would you? It's really big. It's not a ring that I would want to wear out in the world all that much because of how bulky it is, but for another reason I would. It's cool because guess what? That's a container. Look at it closely. It's a little tiny jar. Guess what's inside the jar? It's not water, it's oil. And I open this up, and there's a little tiny bit of oil. And when we have a baptism, I take this oil, and who wants to be my, can somebody let me put oil on their forehead? Anybody mind? No, no. He volunteers his sister. Does anybody want to do it? Should I just do it to myself? So you see, okay, I mark a cross on the baby or whoever I'm baptizing, and I say, "You are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever." And we do that at our baptism. And you know why I think that's one of my favorite parts of the baptism? Because those words I like to say to people all their lives, to remind you, whenever you feel scared or in trouble, or even, this is what happened, I knew somebody who was dying. And when they died, right before they died, I was able to come and share those words with them, that they are sealed by the Holy Spirit, marked with the cross of Christ forever. Because it reminds us that no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, no matter, and I got a little oil on me now, no matter what we're, how we're feeling, God is with us, no matter what. That's the promise that we have of God. I really find that helpful. I know the adults will help find that helpful too with hard texts like today's gospel, but we stand firm in our baptism and in the promise of baptism. So can you pray with me? Dear God, you are always with me. Help me never to forget that. And help me to share that with others. Amen. And you can go back to your seats. Thank you. I totally need a paper towel. Can you help me, Pastor Lita? As she is getting me a paper towel, let me say grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, today's text is a tough one. I mean, I could see kind of people responding to that even in your whispers to one another right after it's done. I wonder how he's going to handle this one. Thank you. It's a very difficult text because, as Pastor Lita says, it's right in the middle of a sermon, and it speaks to a moment in time where I think it's fair to say that Jesus had a little anger going. I also think it was fair to say that Jesus wasn't trying to set the bar just high enough to where they could do it. Jesus was trying to get the Pharisees, who really thought they were living and doing right by God, to realize they just weren't going to be able to get there on their own. So, those words, nobody here, I need you to hear this, children. Jesus is not telling you to cut one of your eyes out or to pull one of your arms off. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's talking to these Pharisees who thought they were righteous with the law and said, you think you're right with the law, this is what you got to do to be right to the law. And so we can kind of lose that and struggle with that. That said, every single one of these things that he's saying, they're kind of tough to hear, but they were speaking to the people of God in this place who were not doing everything that Jesus would have them do. And I can tell you what really Jesus was up to. He was setting the table. He was trying to make it to where the people of God can come around this table that is here and be with one another. The text that we have today, sometimes we think of them as the divorce text and so forth. As a divorced man, this can be a really hard thing to hear as well. But if we realize that in Jesus' day, those women who all the man had to say was, I divorced thee 3 times, and you were divorced. Guess what that meant? A woman who had no other rights was out on the streets, was a beggar. And so at this time especially, you can see how this, Jesus saw this as a real problem in the world. It was such a place of being without. And so you'd have the people that were without, the people on the outside. You'd have those who were cast away as murderers and everything else too. And you see Jesus in this text trying to find a way for everybody who heard his words to be convicted so that everybody knew they all fell short of the glory of God. Now, oftentimes when I share this text, I feel like I really need to go into even more detail on that first, on those parts of the text that I've just talked about a little bit. I'll tell you, that divorce text, I understand. If you need to talk more, if you're hearing that and you feel like you're on the outside or something else, please know that we do not see that as the case, that God's love endures forever and God's love will stay with you, whatever we are facing and dealing with in our own life. But I wanted to take a time today to talk about forgiveness because I think that's that foundational piece that sometimes, because it's not as controversial of a word in this text, we miss it because we start talking about all the controversial things. So I said Jesus is setting the table in this text. So let me go to the table first, okay? Because I think to set this table, and let me bring my scripture with me, my notes with me, they're sitting right up here. I got thrown off by that oil on my hands. Jesus is setting the table in this text. To talk about that, I mentioned that he was upset with the Pharisees and the people of the crowd who were trying to decide who was in and who was out. And I think Jesus really was struggling with the authenticity of his people and the faith that they were sharing. It actually kind of reminds me of what Martin Luther did. I'm not comparing Martin Luther to Jesus. Okay, let me say that. But what Martin Luther experienced in the 1500s was a church that was telling you how you could be righteous under the law. And he was like, you can't be righteous under the law. What are we doing? And he saw this as an inauthentic faith. So I'm going to start with an illustration for you. I want you to look at this real fast, this picture of Coca-Cola. I don't know in this day and age how many of you still look at that and on a hot summer day would crave this. Raise your hand if you would crave that on a hot summer day. Even if you wouldn't drink it, would you crave it? You know, there's a few of you on that place too. If you don't, imagine another drink for a moment. Something that just like, oh, on the hot summer day, that's going to be great. Okay. Now you see this in your mind. I mean, look, the sweat is on it and everything. It just kind of makes me thirsty just looking at it. Now, if it was an actual hot summer day, and I hand you this photo, would it quench your thirst? No, of course not. But I think sometimes when we view these things that are that the law this way, or even forgiveness, and that's now what we're going to talk about, this idea of forgiveness, we can turn it into this inauthentic peace that doesn't really quench our thirst or bring us to the table in any way, shape, or form. It's thin. It's not real. Now, forgiveness is so central to ourselves that each and every one of us strive for it, even when we don't quite have it real. I was thinking about my own example in my own family. I'm still guilty of it. When Gabriel throws a ball at Jonah, who inevitably is not looking and gets popped in the face with a ball right in the house, and yes, this actually happens, you know, just boom. You shouldn't have to be worrying about a ball just hitting you in the house, but it happens. And Jonah goes, ow, dad, and you know I'm coming in the situation. Sometimes I try to let it just be settled by themselves, but once in a while, a parent is called in. And so there I am. And what are the words that I sometimes find myself saying? Gabriel, say you are sorry. I long for forgiveness. But I got to admit, when I even think about that, what kind of forgiveness is that sorry at that point? Oftentimes, it's that really thin forgiveness. See, I think this is the struggle that Jesus had. He wanted them to know this deeper understanding of forgiveness and certainty. So then the why of that is so important. And I said I'm up here because it's the table. Because I do believe that the reason that Jesus saw this as so important as he saw the people of God needing forgiveness as a way to come together because we had this gift. But if we did not have forgiveness as something that was central to who we were, would we be able to gather around the table together? And do you know that to this day, when we share the Lord's Supper, the reason that we have the passing of the peace before communion is very purposeful? It's because Christ calls us to forgive our brothers and sisters before we come to the table. That's why we do that. Sometimes we think passing of the peace is this time to say hey to our friend that we haven't seen for a while, and sometimes we use it that way. But this is really to say to our brothers and sisters, you're welcome here. It might even be, I'm struggling with you, but you're forgiven, especially in my life in Christ Jesus with you. Now that said, we all know that forgiveness is not always as simple as having somebody say you're sorry for a ball that hit you. A lot of the things that we deal with in life are a level of forgiveness and struggle that is much harder. Without going into details, I know the adults can imagine some of those scenarios where it would be really hard for forgiveness to just happen. And I've been put in that situation as a pastor, where I'm sitting with somebody and they're saying, Pastor, I know that I'm called to forgive, but I am really, really hurting. And the idea of being even in the same room with that person, I can't do it. Should I tell them you must? It's a hard one, isn't it? Should I tell them they must go to that room with that person who has wronged them at a level where it hurts them to be in the same area as them? This is where I think we need to overcome our understanding of forgiveness as an individual experience and realize that the power of the community, of the people of God, is that we are called to forgiveness, knowing that as individuals we struggle. Hey, we struggle as community. But as God calls us to forgiveness, as we can see this as a central piece, I will not say to that individual, no, you need to go and forgive them. What I'll say to them is, forgiveness is central to our people of God. I will say
that God loves even the person that you're struggling with in the most crazy way. And I can tell you that that is where that offensive grace that we were talking about is. Sometimes that really bugs us. But I will not make them ask for forgiveness there. But I will call the community to forgiveness. And so I think about how we come around this table as brothers and sisters in Christ and remind you that as we come to this table and come and share this meal, this bread and wine that is the body and blood of Jesus Christ, we need each other. We need each other, and we need to know that the person next to us has our backs and is with us, but also knows that we are going to struggle, and indeed, we are going to fail. And that's why we have this meal at all, because finally, we center ourselves on this foundation of grace that is greater than even our need for forgiveness, knowing that we aren't able to live it out perfectly. That's what Jesus was getting at with the Pharisees, that all of these things that are good for good community are not things that we can carry out into perfection. But we, as a people of God, are called to forgive, are called to be loving, to love even our enemies, because God wants to invite more people to the table. You see, at the end of the day, we're going to find a way to get around this table today. But we know a whole lot of people who aren't here today. And some of them aren't here today because they don't feel welcome. And our job is not only to ask for forgiveness from those we've wronged, but to bring out the love of Christ Jesus to those who have been broken and hit and hurt by the world, by the world's sin. And that we can stand up to our brothers and sisters who have been wronged by someone else and say, you know, you're loved. Or those who are in need of great forgiveness, maybe we're the ones to say, you know, God forgives you. And you are welcome at the table of the Lord. Yes, forgiveness is the authentic face of the church. And we are a community that is imperfect, but we are a community that stands on the foundation of grace. So forgiveness? Question mark. Seriously? Question mark. Yes. But I stand with you in need of forgiveness always. And I stand with you with Christ, knowing that when my ability to forgive falls short, we have the promise of a God who has sealed us with the Holy Spirit and marked us with the Christ forever and calls us to share that with the world. Amen. And I think I'll leave the table set. Let's sing together our song, our sacred space song, and respond to God's word in all the ways that we can.